ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, entitled The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, text number 33. Patnya uchu yagyo yam tava yajanaya kena srishto vidvastaha pashupatinadya Dakshakopat Tam Nas Tvam Shava Shayanabha Shanta Medham Yagyatman Nalina Rucha Drusha Punihi Patnya Uchuhu. Tunes, huh? Yagyo Yam. The meter. Yagyo Yam Tava Yagya Yakena Srishto. Yagya yamta. No, that's not it. Who's got the handle on the meter here? It's not Chintamani Prakarasad Mashu. And it's not. It would be hard to tense. Anybody got a line on that? No? Okay, we'll struggle through it then. Yagyo yam tava yagyaya kena srishto.
Yagyo yam tava yagyaya kena srishto.
Vidvasta pashu patinadya daksha kopat. Tamnastvam shava shayanabha shantamedam. Yagyatma nalina rucha drisha punihi. The wives of the executors of the sacrifice said, Yagyaha, the sacrifice, I am this, Tava, your, Yajanaya, worshipping, Kena, by Brahma. Shrishtaha, arranged. Vidvastaha, devastated. Pashupatina, by Lord Shiva. Adya, today. Dakshakopat, from anger at Daksha. Tam, it. Naha, our. Twam, you. Shavashayana, dead bodies. Abha, like. Shantamedham, the still sacrificial animals. Yagyatman, O Lord of sacrifice. Nalina, lotus. Rucha, beautiful. Drisha, by the vision of your eyes. Punihi, sanctify. Actually, even the English editors are wrong here. At least according to English. American is different, but you can't be angry at someone. You're angry with them. Does anybody know that? Was anyone taught English grammar? Angry with. Huh? Who says? No, it's angry with. Anyway, books were edited by Americans. Translation. The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said, "My dear Lord, this sacrifice was arranged under the instruction of Brahma, but unfortunately, Lord Shiva, being angry at Daksha, devastated the entire scene, and because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yajna have been lost. Now, by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of this sacrificial arena may be again invoked." Responsively, please repeat. The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said, "My dear Lord, this sacrifice was arranged under the instruction of Brahma. But unfortunately, Lord Shiva, being angry with Daksha, devastated the entire scene. And because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yajna have been lost. Now, by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of this sacrificial arena may be again invoked." Report by Srila Prabhupada. Animals were offered in sacrifice in order to give them renewed life. That was the purpose of having animals there. Offering an animal in sacrifice and giving him renewed life is the evidence of the strength of chanting mantras. Unfortunately, when Daksha's sacrifice was devastated by Lord Shiva, some of the animals were killed. One was killed just to replace the head of Daksha. Their bodies were lying about, and the sacrificial arena was turned into a crematorium. Thus the real purpose of yajna was lost. Lord Vishnu, being the ultimate objective of such sacrificial ceremonies, was requested by the wives of the priests to glance over the yajna arena with his causeless mercy, so that the routine work of the yajna might be continued. The purport here is that animals should not be unnecessarily killed. They were used to prove the strength of the mantras and were to have been rejuvenated by the use of the mantras. They should not have been killed, as they were, by Lord Shiva, to replace the head of Daksha with an animal's head. It was pleasing to see an animal sacrificed and rejuvenated, and that pleasing atmosphere had been lost. The wives of the priests requested that the animals be brought back to life by the glance of Lord Vishnu to make a pleasing yajna. The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said, "My dear Lord, this sacrifice was arranged under the instruction of Brahma, but unfortunately Lord Shiva, being angry with Daksha, devastated the entire scene, and because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yajna have been lost. Now, by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of this sacrificial arena may be again invoked." So the purpose of performing any kind of sacrifice is to please Vishnu, yajna by Vishnu. And people do perform different kinds of sacrifices with different goals in mind, but they will not get the ultimate result of their sacrifice. They will get a limited and temporary benefit. For example, some people worship demigods and they perform yajna or sacrifice, but they are not directing their propensities for yajna towards the Supreme, and they also have some motivation. We were discussing the other day how the Maha Mantra is available in every yuga. So why don't people just chant Maha Mantra in Satya Yuga or in Dwapara Yuga or in Treta Yuga? Well, these different yugas have different prescribed processes which the mass of people can take to for perfection. In other ages, the Maha Mantra was a Vedic mantra, but only Brahmins were allowed to chant Vedic mantras. So in Treta Yuga, people could attend large sacrifices, Tretayam Yajato Makai. They could attend large sacrifices performed by the king or administrative head with great opulence, grandeur, and they could listen, they could hear Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. First business is hearing. So even though they weren't authorized to chant, they could hear the chanting of Vedic mantras, which did include the Maha Mantra. So that was the most expedient method by which they could make spiritual progress. Although, of course, the Maha Mantra has potency in every and any age, but it is specifically authorized by scripture For example, in the Kali Sutta Upanishad, it is explained that you can look through all the Vedas. Kali Kalmashanashanam Natak Parato Parataro Paya Sarva Vedeshu Drishyate. You can look through Sarva Vedeshu, all the Vedas. You won't find a more perfect means of religion in this age than chanting. So it is prescribed specifically. And it is imbued, or we are given special benediction by Lord Chaitanya, so that we, me, Malechas, can have access. It's interesting to see here that these yajñas were not taken lightly, but every aspect of the yajna had to be done perfectly. The whole arena had to be immaculate, very clean. And in this particular situation, after the it was a fight. Lord Shiva came with all of his ghosts and hobgoblins and yakshas, and they fought. They chased everybody out of there, and there were many animals that were being prepared. The idea was that the yajna was going on, an animal was slaughtered, and immediately he would be rejuvenated. So Lord Shiva appeared while the yajna was in process, and animals were being slaughtered and prepared to come before the brahmanas. The brahmanas would prove the efficacy of their chanting of mantras by getting the result. In other words, if they didn't revive the animal, they got the karma of killing the animal. So certainly no neophytes were allowed to do such type of chanting. It was only after long education, experience, and practice in chanting that they were allowed to sit as the yajñik priest, the yajman. Because otherwise you would have this situation with many dead animals who weren't revived. But here's a situation where the Brahmins were not able to complete their mantras. And it's interesting to note that the wives of the Brahmanas were the ones who were specifically concerned about the cleanliness of the arena. So it was they who petitioned Lord Vishnu, please help us to sanctify this arena again so that our husbands can do their, what does Prabhupada call it, their something or other work, routine work. And usually this phrase, routine work, refers to karma. There's karma, vikarma, and akarma. But this type of yajna, the activities of the brahmanas, it was their karma to perform these yajnas. And if they couldn't execute their duties, then they would, of course, lose the benefit of being born as a brahmana. If they couldn't, patan patan yajan yajan dana pratigra. Their business is to study the pat, study the shastra, and patan, to teach others. Patan patan, to teach others. If a brahmana can't do that, then he can scarcely call himself a brahmana. Brahmana's business is to teach. and yajan yajan, to perform yajna and to engage others in the yajna. It's not that you go out to a lonely place in the country and do a yajna for yourself. Yajna means it means congregational, actually. Yajna means you engage everybody, and in fact, in India, we see when yajnas are performed, many householders are engaged by the brahmanas. It's an opportunity for husband and wife to sit down and do some pious activity, spiritual activity. So it's congregational. And yajan yajan, dana, to receive charity, and patigra, to give in charity. Of course, they receive bhiksha or anything that the king bestows upon them, or any well-wisher, etc. Brahmanas are supposed to be free from attachment to material opulence. Too much material opulence will totally destroy the consciousness of anyone. Taya parita chetasam. Material opulence, it has a way of making you think that you are the enjoyer just by proximity. There's a good story from the Ramayana, I'm sure you've heard it before, but it's educational. Lord Rama had in Ayodhya, he had a gate in his palace where anybody in the kingdom could come and make complaints. And he was very concerned about that, that even one of his subjects had a complaint. He wanted to hear that and try and do something about it. And of course the story of the washerman who complained about Lord Rama's going back with Sita after Sita had been taken by Ravan. And he took it so seriously that he banished Sita from his presence. But there was another instance where at this gate he would send his ministers to see daily if there was any complaint, and they would come back, no complaints, because it was just one of those kingdoms where everybody was happy. When you have good leadership, it's not hard to feel protected, to feel satisfied, and to be engaged in the right activity. Prabhupada used to say, the king is good for the people and the people are good for the king, but the king is important. The king is better, actually. Bengali proverb. Very important to have a good leader. So Lord Ram used to send his brahmanas, his ministers there, to hear, and they would come back and say there was no complaint, and he would say, you sure? Not even anything? You sure there wasn't? And he would continue asking that way. One day one of his ministers said, well, it was a small thing, but it's not important. No, what is it? No, please tell me. Well, there was a dog. The dog complained. So, all right, call the dog. The dog came. They brought the dog. I guess dogs could talk at that time. Somehow they communicated with the dog. The dog told the story of how he was sleeping on the side of the road. You know, it's a dog's life. And he was sleeping in the afternoon sun, warm and feeling quite good about himself. And this brahmana walked up and just kicked him. For no apparent reason at all. So Lord Ram was dismayed. He said, this is not good. This is not proper. Call that brahmana. And they called the brahmana. And the Brahmana came and they questioned him, and he admitted, yeah, I had a bad day at the office. And, you know, I was upset. I did it. So then the Brahmana, there must be punishment. There must be some retribution for this act of anger and insult. So, but they didn't know what to do, because in Shastra it says that Brahmanas, children, and women are not to be punished, or are not to be heavily punished. It's okay if you beat your wife once in a while. No, joke. It's not okay. Especially old men, brahmanas, and children are not to be punished at all. So what to do with this brahmana? So they decided to ask the dog. What was the right thing to do? The dog said, well, you make this brahmana the mahant, the head priest of the biggest temple in your kingdom. How is that a punishment? They're all curious. The dog said, well, in my last life, I was the mahant of that temple. And I was riding everywhere on a bulky palanquin, and I was thinking I was big man with, you know, gold earrings and jewelry and worship. So, Brahmana's business is actually to be simple, to live simply. And too much material opulence is dangerous. I've seen it because I happen to have been for the last many, many years, 25 years, stationed in the most opulent temple in Iskcon. You know, everybody in the temple is pure. Everybody's spiritual there, but it's not always the case. People bring a lot of extra baggage when they come to devotional service, and they may not be able to get rid of it all immediately. We're all going through different stages of purification. So I see in that temple, in Juhu, Radharas Bihari temple, Radharas Bihari are very merciful. That temple has no financial problems. It's very opulent. And yet there are situations where devotees do get bewildered by that opulence and think that I'm the enjoyer, or that gives birth to many other things. So, anyway, the ladies requested Lord Vishnu to clean the arena so that the yajna could be performed properly. And here in the purport, Prabhupada focuses on a very important aspect of spiritual life, the pashugnat, animal killers. They cannot make spiritual advancement. Ahimsa is, or nonviolence, is one of the most important principles of advancement in spiritual life. Now, I'm sure all of you have the same experience, but in our former lives, we probably had no compunction at all about killing bugs. And, you know, I remember once, well, it stuck out in my mind, but our house was on the edge of a beautiful forest, so we used to go and play in the forest, and naturally we play with slingshots and BB guns and stuff like that. And I remember killing a little bird with my slingshot. I thought it was David Goliath or something. Anyway, I killed this bird, and I felt so sad afterwards. And it's a fact that it may be overt or it may be subtle, but there is a psychological reaction. What to speak of karmic reaction, there's a psychological reaction to killing. And therefore, a devotee, what to speak of killing a human being, will not even want to kill an ant. And of course, the example is there of Murghari, the hunter, who, after his association with Narad Muni, profession he learned from his father was to not only kill animals, but he took particular pleasure in half killing them, or maybe 7/8 killing them or something. You know, anyway, he would love to watch them squirm and shriek in pain as they died, as they gasped for their last breaths. And he enjoyed that. You can just imagine the mentality of that. But by association with the saintly person, and by understanding that such activity would lead to his own suffering eventually, he gave it up and he turned around and became so gentle that when he went to see Narad, Narad was approaching his ashram, he went to see him and he swept the ants out of the way. He wanted to kill, and I'm sure all of you have had that experience, that you get up in the morning, at least I know, and the sink is covered with ants, or there's a spider in it. And I go through this whole routine to get the ants off and to maybe get some paper and pick the spider out. I don't want to kill. There's a living being in there who is on his own path, and I have no right to interfere. I can't give him life, so I shouldn't take it away. So easily, so callously. Of course, if by accident we do kill some other living being, the body of some other living being, we should lament and carry on. We are in Krishna's service, but never take it lightly. So, animals, although they were killed for sacrifice, when the sacrifice could not be performed, everybody was lamenting. And Prabhupada used to often talk about how people in Bengal, in the fall, they engage in Kali Puja or Durga Puja. Durga Puja. It's right after, when is it? Kartik. Just after Kartik. When is Kali Puja? It's right around that time. Smara, you remember? Huh? What?
More in the winter.
Anyway, it's around November, October, November, something like that. And for 10 days, it's the same time as Ram Vijay Dasa, something like that. So all these butcher shops all over Bengal, they sell all kinds of meat, and they put up they usually have photos of Durga or Kali in their butcher shops, and the idea being that this is Kali Prasad. But during Durga Puja, it's just a festival of killing, and it's really very sad because they're cheating themselves, they're cheating the people. The whole point is not to open slaughterhouses. the point is that there is an excuse for brahmanas to test the efficacy of their mantras, but otherwise everyone should be nonviolent in their eating habits. And this point came up again and again and again when Srila Prabhupada would talk to Christians. There's one famous scholar, biblical scholar, and Prabhupada met him and they had a debate, and was kind of, you know, Prabhupada kept catching him on the point, but he kept slipping away. And of course, the same person, sometime later, about a week later, he had a heart attack. Not at home either. He was climbing the stairs to his prostitute's place. His heart gave way. Staircase, whatever. But people who try to justify animal killing are usually quite bankrupt in their spiritual credits. They're actually cheaters. Especially when they're presented with arguments. Anyone who could discuss with Srila Prabhupada and not be convinced really had to be a hardcore meat eater. And therefore we have to try to learn from this Leela of Daksha and Lord Shiva. Actually, Lord Shiva is also a little bit castigated here because he should not have killed an animal just to put a head on Daksha. There's a reference here to that Daksha was beheaded and then given the head of a goat on the petition of Parvati, petition by Shiva, is that correct? Who remembers the story? Anyway, she petitioned Bhajiva to help. Maybe it was the Brahmins also. But Daksha had to continue the sacrifice. He was the executive producer. And, you know, the movie can't go on without the executive producer. So Bhajiva agreed, gave him a goat's head, carried on. And that's another instance, actually, by the way. There are various instances where miracle cures were effected. And you'll be all happy to know that Tribhuvanath reached Sao Paulo and he was picked up by the devotees at the temple there and taken to the temple and had a little rest. And then he went back to the airport and he went on. He's now in Abadiania, near Brasilia, and he must have had his first experience yesterday and tomorrow. Usually what you meet the healer and then he'll say, well, tomorrow I will operate on you. So we should be getting some news in a few days what the prognosis is, but if any of you want to keep in touch with Tribhuvanath, you may or may not be able to get through to him on comm, because I don't know what kind of access. You can get access from Abadiania, but it's like, I don't know how many, it's very slow, you know, it's about comparable to an 8K modem or something. Very slow. So I can give you some email addresses of devotees there. We'll convey. There's a group of devotees going today from Goyania with prasadam and garlands and some more. more going on Saturday. So I can give you some addresses if you want to forward any mail. And then there's always Lewis. Where's Lewis? Is he here? Okay, he's there. He was just in India, Vrindavan, and Mayapur. Now he's headed back. So our beloved, this is very nice. I'm very happy to see this. And I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is very happy to have Triple Manas sitting at his lotus feet. So, that's nice. I like that. I think we should do more for the cows. But what can I say? It's quite dangerous. It's getting worse. Of course, as has been explained, it's all a bogus thing. So bogus. Foot and mouth disease does not harm humans, and it doesn't harm the animals either. It's just business. They give a little bit less milk if they get the disease. And it's gone in 3 weeks. Like a flu or something. But we're living in such a violent, vicious, commercial, rotten period. Where did I see in some newspaper a picture of cows that had been burned, and all it showed was the cow's legs sticking upward, and they were all charred and black. Oh my God, it's worse than anything to see. So you really have to pray to Lord Vishnu, and we should pray personally on behalf of each and every cow. We don't just pray for all devotees who go to Abhidhyani, and we pray for Tribhuvanath Prabhu. So why can't we pray for our cows? They're persons. Even the farmers are saying that it's a trauma for their whole family to kill the cows, because they say that every morning you go in and pat the cows, give them a scratch, and you know, you develop a relationship with them, and their children are, they freak out when the whole herd is destroyed, because they're wonderful people inside that cow's body. They're headed for the human form of life, in the mode of goodness, and they're Krishna's favorite animal. You should know their names. Are there any questions? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam.